hope you'll try to concentrate on the Word of God instead of the water coming down. Last Sunday, I tried to talk to you about the difference between satisfying God and pleasing God. And I hope we all understand that only Christ could satisfy God totally. Only Christ could keep the law of God, be perfect his whole life. Only in Christ are the laws of God satisfied. And may I remind you that Christ did that for his sheep. He didn't need it. God had been satisfied with him for all eternity, but you and I sure needed it, didn't we? And can you even think today that God is totally satisfied with you from the eternal point of view, totally, because of what Christ did? Y'all listen to me. God is not expecting you to do something so he can be satisfied with you and satisfied to allow you entrance into eternal heaven. That's a done deal. But you and I can still have the opportunity because of this. And y'all, I tell you, without the satisfaction that Christ wrought with God, you and I would never be able to even please God at all. Think about it. Before you're born again, you can't please God anyhow. Think about it. So today, if the Lord would bless, and I need your prayer so bad, I want to talk to you about displeasing God. You know, if y'all listen, if we can please God, we can also displease him. Everybody in here understand, none of that has anything to do with the satisfaction that God has in you in Christ eternally forever. But we can displease God. And I'd like to also talk about some ways we can please God. And these are very practical issues. I pray that you will bear with me. The first place let's look at is 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians 10. All of us, as God's sheep, God's children, should very earnestly want to please God. And in fact, I think I'll go so far as to say that in God's children, there is something deep within them that is born of God that wants nothing other than to please God. But boy, don't we have another side of us that, you know what it wants? To please self. Right? And these two are contrary the one to another, so that according to the Apostle Paul, ye cannot do those things which you would do. Y'all listen to me. Put it out of your mind that you can ever be perfect enough to satisfy God. Put it out of your mind. Lay your perfectionism at the feet of the perfect Christ. But we should all want to please God. And there are ways we can please God, and some of them are so simple, you'll say, what? 1 Corinthians 10. But we're going to talk about the negative first, displeasing God. We can displease God. Moreover, brethren, y'all, I'm having trouble. I'm distracted by the weather too, I promise you. I hope the Lord will help us not to be. Moreover, brethren, I would not have. Back up, try again. I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Y'all, that's all of the nation of Israel, typical of all of God's elect, and they were all brought out of Egyptian bondage. You know what that means for me and you? That means in our New Testament gospel era, all of God's elect will be born of God. They all came out of Egyptian bondage. All of God's elect are going to come out of the bondage of death and sins. Except where they were baptized unto Moses, we're born again unto Christ. And they did all eat the same spiritual meat. And did all drink the same spiritual drink. You know, look, all of them. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ. Now, is God teaching us something here? And do you notice how the Lord, and I've got to hurry, the Lord uses Old Testament stories to teach us New Testament principles over and over and over. Okay. Now, all of these people had all these blessings, right? But with many of them, God was not well pleased. Y'all, listen to me. The death of Christ had satisfied the God of heaven, even on behalf of the stubborn, rebellious Jews who would not do what God said. God was satisfied with them eternally because of the death of Christ, but nevertheless, even though they had all these blessings, they did not please God. And you know what happened? Well, let's read. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. You know what this is talking about? When God led the entire nation of Israel, after he gave them the law at Sinai, led them up the Jordan River, said, enter the land of Canaan. In essence, what he was saying, the way we would say that in New Testament, join the church. Join the church. Did you know there are God's people that won't do that? And I want you to know, it displeases God. I'm not trying to be mean. I know Mike... I hadn't forgot what Mike told me. Every time you say you're not trying to be mean, you're being mean. And every time you say I love you, something rough's coming. But y'all, it's just the way it is. It pleases God when his children join the church. And really, if you'll think about it a minute, that's not too much to ask. After all Christ has done for us. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Remember, all ones 20 years old and up died in the wilderness with the exclusion of Joshua and Caleb because they were men of another spirit. Joshua and Caleb said, let's go. And the majority said, we can't. Yeah, we're scared. We can't. There's giants over there. Y'all look. They had every excuse in the book. Okay, why is this in the Bible so depressing? Why in the world do the writers of the New Testament emphasize this one mistake that the children of Israel made over and over? I mean, over and over, we're told, don't do like they did. Enter into rest. Don't rebel. Don't do like they did. Now these things were written, these things were our examples to the intent that we should not lust after the evil things that they lusted after. Y'all, they displeased God. Listen to me. They're displeasing God and the fact that they died in the wilderness. They never got to enter the land of Canaan. God said, you're not going. Did not in any way alter the satisfaction that Christ wrought with God on their behalf. Can you see it, my brothers and sisters? But boy, did they miss out. I ask you, did they miss out? Okay. 1 Thessalonians 2. This is another one on how they displeased God. And y'all, listen, we can displease God. You know it. 1 Thessalonians 2. Everybody there? Speaking of the Jews, verse 15, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets. Y'all suppose God was pleased with that? And have persecuted us. They were persecuting the early church. Y'all suppose God was pleased with that? And, look, we're told, and they please not God, and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles. What? You mean to tell me there were people that didn't want the gospel preached to people in the first century? Absolutely. You say, well, that's crazy. Well, I'm just telling you. That did not please God too pretty good. Forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sin, that is the Jews' sin always. Notice, how upset was God with the Jewish nation? For the wrath has come upon them to the uttermost. Now listen to me. What those Jews did, all the elect among the Jews that were participating in these evil behaviors, that didn't please God. And even though the wrath of God came upon them gospelly to the uttermost, they were broken off, gospel given to the Gentiles. The gospel was taken them from then, given to the Gentiles. Y'all listening to me? That's worse than corporeal death. But even though that's true, it did not alter the fact that God was satisfied with them eternally in spite of this because of the death of Christ. Can y'all see it? So I make a motion that we preach the gospel. What do you think? Should we be preaching the gospel? Let us spread the gospel. And you say, well, Brother Gary, that's your job. It's not just my job. Spread the gospel in your home. Teach it to your children. You young parents, start right now teaching the gospel to your children. Jesus saves. Have them memorize that. Jesus saves. Jesus doesn't try to save. He saves. Anyway, okay. It should be obvious, I would think, that if refusing to preach the gospel displeases God, preaching it and spreading it, and by the way, using whatever means we can, within biblical parameters. I mean, I was freaked out the first time John Staton said, let's live stream on Facebook. I was just totally freaked out. I really didn't like the idea. Ooh, that's terrible that I was that way. And I will say this. Don't y'all think you can stay home and watch me on Facebook. Don't you be doing that. Now, if you're sick, okay. That's not what this, we need to be here together, face to face. But there is an advantage. Brother Don and Sister Eddie found us on Facebook. Let us be spreading the gospel. It pleases God. And I want to say something else to you. It pleases God when you share the gospel with people, share the truth of Jesus with people, even if they don't get it and understand it at first, it still pleases God. Okay. Alrighty now, Colossians chapter 3, some stuff on pleasing God, more on pleasing God. Does everybody in here understand? I'm talking about pleasing God, not satisfying God. I hope everybody understands that. Colossians chapter 3, verse 20. Now y'all cannot believe the stuff that pleases God. Simple little everyday stuff that you don't think about. Little everyday stuff. The thing that just ran through my mind as I was thinking about that was where it says pray without ceasing. That means just be in a prayerful frame of mind. be in a prayerful frame of mind as you go about your daily business. Hey, guess what? That pleases God. God is well pleased when His children communicate with Him on a steady basis. Isn't that right? All based upon the satisfaction that Christ wrought with our Father on our behalf. All right, this one's Colossians 3:20. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Just look at that. Now, that's a little tiny, simple thing. Well, I can maybe, well, our nature's so messed up, sometimes it's not quite so tiny. But think about that. Is it even remotely possible that God is observing the home and watching children? Is it remotely possible that when children do something as nondescript, non-sensational, they do something as non-sensational as obeying their parents, that it's well-pleasing to God? I hope all the children are listening in here. This is well-pleasing to the Lord when you obey your parents. Now, you say, well, I don't always do that. Well, no, that's when you displease the Lord. But when you obey your parents, it pleases the Lord. Listen to me. Even if you've displeased them before, listen. When you obey your parents, it pleases God. I want to say something here. I've said, leave your perfectionism at the feet of the perfect Christ. Satan, if you're too much of a perfectionist, Satan will take your perfectionism and the fact that you can't attain it and absolutely beat you down with it. And you'll wind up saying, I can't do this right, and just give up. That is a ploy of the devil. Don't try to be perfect. Try to be grown up. Grow up, mature, but realize Christ is your perfection. Are you listening? Children, obey your parents in the Lord. I mean, that's just wild. I've said this over and over. John, make your bed. John, make your bed. Seth, sweep the floor. Or whatever. Gary, take the trash out. Whatever. Is it remotely possible, my brothers and sisters, that when a child obeys his or her parents on these things, that it pleases God? It pleases God. Parents, you listening? It pleases God when your children obey you. That's a little harder on us, isn't it, right there? Too many parents give their children a way not to obey them. Parents, it pleases God when your children obey you. Now, y'all look, we're not talking about being ridiculous, but just stuff. I mean, really. Seth, make your bed. It is not unreasonable to have a child make his bed. Or sweep the floor, or pick up your... I started to say panties. Oh, my heavens. Or what, in your drawers. Pick up your clothes. Put them in the hamper. You know, that's training for life. Parents, it pleases God when your children obey you, and it displeases God when they don't. You know what that means? Don't let them get by with it. Hebrews 13, and I've really been dreading this, but okay. Hebrews 13. Verse 16. Hebrews 13 and verse 16. What pleases God? Everybody, while you turn there, don't forget now, we're not talking about God being satisfied with you. It's only because of the satisfaction that Christ wrought with the Father that we can please Him at all. But y'all, we can. And the Bible tells us some ways to do it. Okay, Hebrews 13:16 says, "But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased." And that communicate there means financially. It is not talking about speech. I'll prove it here in a minute. This is talking about us sharing our financial means, and that our giving, y'all listen, giving pleases God. You listening? How simple is it? Think about this. It's so simple. You cut your check, put it in the box, and God is pleased. Now, He's got a standard, and y'all, I've put some of Brother Harold's First Fruit booklets out there. I want every young couple in here today to get one and read it. Because I'm just going to give you the thumbnail sketch. Brother Harold's got the story in the First Fruits booklet. But I want y'all to know one way we can please God is by sharing our finances, putting our finances in the box in order that the church can. You know what takes money to operate a church? Can we spread the gospel? Can we remodel the church? Remodel the church. Fix the garbage disposal. Can we serve God by sending a contribution to the Choices Pregnancy Center? These are things our church does. And by sharing with the destitute through local services. Does it please God when our church shares of its finances with other churches that have special needs? We've done it over and over. This is something we discussed Wednesday night in Bible study, that's a biblical principle. And by the way, let me tell you something else. This is one of the greatest joys a believer can ever experience, is to give of your need, give of your finances to the Lord's church as He commands. And I want to tell you, it is a joy that is almost unspeakable. You say, "Brother Gary, you just want a raise." I hope you know better than that. All right, Philippians chapter 3. And then just going to read you what the apostle said about it. Philippians 4. Now I know the young people are saying, "Brother Gary, when are you going to get off our case?" I never. Never. And I want the young people to know, it's not because I don't love you. Philippians 4, and some of the imagery that's in here is staggering. Okay, can I ask y'all a question? Does it not blow your mind that by returning to God the portion of our income that He says is His, we please Him? How simple is that? It's so simple, it's unbelievable. And God's method is the only method that's fair when it comes to giving. Totally fair. Mike and I were talking, I don't remember. Mike's on my case so much, you wouldn't believe it. And we were talking sometime, I don't know, going somewhere or doing something. And he said, "I wish there was what's it called, Mike, a level tax, flat tax?" "Flat tax. I'm in favor of flat tax." And I said, "You know who came up with that idea, don't you? Of a flat tax, everybody gives the same percentage. Who was it came up with that idea?" "Almighty God." Can y'all imagine that something that simple pleases God? It's really quite incredible. God is well pleased. Okay. Philippians 4. And Brother Harold's one that taught me this imagery. Mercy, I don't know how many years ago. "Notwithstanding, ye did well that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now that word communicate over there that I read to you a moment ago in Hebrews doesn't mean speech. It means sharing of your financial goods. Now he says to the church at Philippi, notwithstanding ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now, by the way, the verse before that says, I can do all things through Christ which strengthened me. You know what that really, the context means? I can be poor as Job's turkey, or I can abound in all things. I can do either of those through Christ which strengthens me. That's really what Paul is saying. It does not mean that I can lift 1,000 pounds, run a marathon. What? Okay, that's mean right there. I got to calm down. Context, 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 to quote Elder Karen Kennedy. He says there's only three things that matter when you're studying the Bible. Only three things. Context, context, context. Notwithstanding, ye have well done. You've done what? Well done. That ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed Macedonia, I think that means when he was on his first missionary journey, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. Is there any question that the word communication here is talking about giving and receiving? Brothers and sisters, I ask you, does it not blow your mind that something that simple, that below the radar, that unobservable, that private, can please God? I just rejoice with all my heart. No church communicated with me. Notice verse 16. For even in Thessalonica, that means while Paul was in Thessalonica, the Philippians sent once and again unto his necessity. You realize that means the church of Philippi sent two financial gifts to Paul when he was in Thessalonica. And what do you think God in heaven's doing? Was God in heaven saying, well, shame on the church of Philippi? Y'all listen to what, you know what the Bible's saying? God was well pleased that the church at Philippi did that for the Apostle Paul. Verse 17, are you listening? Not because I desire a gift. What did he say up there in verse 13? It doesn't matter, I'll be fine. I'll be fine no matter what. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. I will have all of you, experience the joy of New Testament giving. And it is a joy that you can't get any other way. You say, well, we're not doing too pretty good. Now, well, just make improvements. Guess what? Make improvements, that pleases God. I'm very serious. All right. Let me go here a little bit further. But I have all and abound. I am full. Having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. And listen, here's what Brother Harold taught me many years ago. He's talking about their sharing finances with a minister of the gospel. Not even at another church when he was on a missionary journey. Okay, notice the last part of that verse 18. An odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Does it get any plainer than that? Well-pleasing to God, and not only that, it uses the imagery there of burnt offerings in the Old Testament and how they pleased God. A burnt offering was a smell of a sweet savor to God. He's saying that's that, and it's just talking. Y'all, listen to me. You don't have to burn an offering. Your financial contribution does that. Doesn't that blow your mind? Next verse, before I quit. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Do you think the church at Philippi went without because of what they did for the Apostle Paul? God watching? You know what verse 19 means there? You can't outgive God. And by the way, that principle, you can't outgive God, applies not just to finances. You can't outgive God in your effort. You can't outgive God in your time. You can't outgive God in your study. You can't outgive God in your prayer life. You can't outgive God in fellowship. I don't guess there's any way in the world you can outgive God. But it also does apply to, and brothers and sisters, it pains any preacher to have to talk about those things because it's so easily misunderstood. And y'all, we don't make a big deal about it here at Point Remove. We don't make a big deal about it. You're not going to get, you're not going to be done. Y'all don't know what the word done means. You will not be sent a bill. In fact, I kind of like the fact that here at Point Remove, there's a box back there, which is the Old Testament pattern for collecting money. That's in the Old Testament. I'm going to say one more time. I want every young family to pick up a copy of the First Fruits booklets out there. And please God in this department as in all others and find the joy that is there. And listen to me, I'll say one more. Brother Harold told me this too. I know this from a calcified fact, from experience. $89 will buy as much as $100. Giving to God through the church is an incredible freedom and blessing for the little child of God. It pleases God like I cannot describe, and it also gives you a joy and a peace. I remember I was talking to this one man one time, and he was involved in bluegrass music like me. And you know, guitar strings can be, you know, $18. We were talking about this one day. And he said, I really need to do better. I said, well, let me tell you what will happen. The guilt that you feel now will be lifted from your soul. He said, I even feel guilty when I buy a set of guitar strings. I said, that guilt will be lifted from your soul. Are you listening? Y'all, this is so incredible. You and I, because this pleases God, and I've got to get off of this. I don't like to talk about this. I'd rather talk about the atonement. You and I can please God, and we can actually see God at work in our financial lives. Did you know God does that? Okay. That's the end of that. Now, Galatians 1:10. I just want to look at this and just in general sort of. I know I'm going to say one more thing. Years and years and years ago, Brother Glenn Blanchard read Brother Harold's booklet. And he just wanted to work his way toward giving according to the New Testament pattern. And his wife said, you'll go broke. You'll go bust. And he worked his way up to it and told me years later, God has blessed me in that way like never before in my life. Now, y'all, we don't use the Lord for an investment firm, but the Lord is the best investment firm there is, if that makes any sense. Okay. I hope that's the end of that. Not because I desire a gift, but that fruit may abound to your account. Okay, Galatians 1, this is a little bit more general. And here's a situation that we're all going to face if we're going to please God. Now, everybody in here understand, I am not talking about us satisfying God. I say one more time, Christ satisfied God eternally, everlastingly, perfectly on the behalf of all of his sheep. And let me say to you one more time, That is why it is impossible for any of them to go to hell. God is eternally satisfied with them already. What? God is eternally satisfied with some of his born-again children who haven't even been born yet. He's eternally satisfied with them already through the work that Christ made. And this is the only way they'll ever be able to please God either. But y'all, we can displease God. We can also please God. And it blows my mind, some of the little stuff that pleases God. I'll give you another one before I look here. Singing hymns. Sister Eddie sent me a text and said they were going to be here today. And she said she's been singing, Hallelujah, Praise Jehovah. She just couldn't wait to get here and sing that. I can't get it out of my head. And I wanted to say to her, what a great thing to have in your head. Y'all, listen to me. When you're at home making your bed, sweeping the floor, picking up your drawers, folding clothes, singing hymns with joy in your heart, are you listening to me? Pleases the God of heaven. He sees that. It pleases him. Isn't it great? Did you know most children want to please their parents? Most of them want to please their parents. Why should we want to please God? Oh, we should. And there's something, and see, here's the thing. There's something in you that absolutely does want to please God. But then that other part of you wants to please self and says, rain on God, no pun intended. It just wants to please self. What a pickle we're in. Okay, Galatians 1:10. Well, of course, Paul's been telling the church at Galatia, look, he says, what in the world? What in the world has happened to you, my beloved? You have embraced a false gospel. That's what he's saying to the church at Galatia. You have embraced a works system. He calls it here the law. Because in the first century, you know the deal? People were saying you've got to be circumcised after the manner of Moses to go to heaven, and that is a work system. And apparently the church at Galatia had embraced that. And he's sending them to tell you the truth, the epistle to the Galatians, in my mind, is one of the strongest rebukes in the New Testament. I consider it to be nearly as strong a rebuke as what the Lord sent to the church at Corinth, except it's on theological principles. My brothers and sisters, if it pleases God for us to believe the truth, and it does, right? It displeases God when we don't. If we believe the truth and we go astray, that displeases God too. Now again, that's not talking about satisfaction, but I'm just telling you the way it is. God was upset with the church at Galatia. Okay, anyway. And so Paul had been there and he preached the gospel to them, and he says to them in essence, look, there's only one gospel, don't listen to any other one. It's only the one that we preach there. If any man preaches any other gospel, let him be accursed. That's what he says. Verse 10, for do I now persuade men or God? Now this is something every preacher faces seriously. Because if you are going to stand before God's people and espouse the things that are in Holy Writ, it's going to ruffle feathers. And listen to me, It can even ruffle PB feathers. So the preacher sometimes has to wrestle with himself. Am I going to preach the doctrine of God and Christ and please God and Christ, or am I going to water it down or whatever in order to please men? Do y'all understand the dilemma? Guess what? We all have a similar dilemma. Now, I'm aware of the dilemma of a minister myself from personal experience, but we all have this dilemma, don't we? For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? All of you listening, for if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. My brothers and sisters, what this means is, in our daily lives, perhaps in every area, all facets of our lives, the dilemma that is before us on a daily basis is, am I going to please God or men? Are you with me? Am I going to knuckle under to the pressure of a wicked world and embrace wicked mentalities? Or am I going to honor God and stick with what God says? Brother Jeff Cochran preached a very beautiful sermon on Proverbs 31 up at Rogers. And he did a beautiful job because he talked about women and their roles, but he also paralleled it to the church, which is what Proverbs 31 is really about, and her role. Did you know if you even talk about the women's role in the world we live in, people are going to think there are going to be some people that are going to be very offended. The very idea that men and women have different roles offends people. Y'all, there's no question that as God's children, etc., men and women are exactly equal. There's no question, but they have different roles. If I yet please men, Paul says, I should not be the servant of Christ. My brothers and sisters, as I step down, I just want to encourage all of you. Here's what we all need to do. Strive to please God in all areas of life. It blows my mind that children can just obey their parents and please God. I mean, I'm serious about that. We wouldn't let the boys whine much. We wouldn't let them whine. You say, Brother Gary, you whine all the time. I know it. Is it even remotely possible? Is it remotely possible that when dad says to the son or daughter, don't whine, and the child doesn't whine, that pleases the God of heaven? I want y'all to see, this is incredible. We can please God. You can please God by being a good husband. By the way, you can please God by making improvements. Becoming a better husband. You can please God by being a better wife. You can please God by being better, more obedient sons and daughters, better church members. Y'all understand? It's absolutely incredible.